Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Another one in the series on the psychology of politics. You can't read the paper or look at the television or the internet today without being fully aware of what's going on in the streets. We are bombarded with news of people who are identified as advocates for a particular point of view, bombarded by information about protesters, those that are protesting a particular point of view. And incidentally, there are more protesters than their advocates. We hear more about what people are against than what people are for when we view these images on our streets these days. We see the governors of the states and the mayors of our cities in conflict with each other and having different points of view and having different agendas. It should be noted that the police chief in most cities, not all, but in most cities, are appointed by the mayor. Well, that makes the whole police department then political. Hence the psychology of politics today, focusing on the police department. Because the police now become an arm of the mayor who represents a particular point of view because that mayor appoints the chief. There are cities where the chief is elected by the people of the city, trying to establish an independence of the chief and of the police department from the political system. There are arguments both ways. There are arguments for the police being under the control and under the decision-making of the mayor. And there are many arguments that would make it better if they were independent. So that's an issue that you need to kind of look at in your own thinking as we deal with this issue of the police. Now, when you look at the issue of the police, you have to kind of ask the question, did we get off to the wrong start? Did we get off on the wrong foot? Did we somehow get the idea that the police are one thing when really they're something else, or they have become something else? So you have to go back and say, did we start wrong, or did it get off the track somewhere along the way? Well, when you look at the police history, the history of the police department, you have to go back to 1829. That's when the police were formed as a department of a city by Sir Robert Peel in London, England, in the Metropolitan Police Force of London. And it was Sir Robert Peel that developed what he called the nine principles of policing, based on three particular core ideas about policing. So when you look at the police department, and you look at changes that people are advocating or wanting to see happen, you have to go back to the roots. You got to go back to the beginning and see what Sir Robert Peel had to say about policing. So let me just look at the three core ideas that he came up with that formed the basis of his thinking as to what a police department should look like and what police should do within the jurisdiction for which they are responsible. Here's the core idea number one. The goal is preventing crime, not catching criminals. If the police stop crime before it happens, we don't have to punish citizens or suppress their rights. An effective police department doesn't have high arrest statistics. Community has low rates. So what he's really saying here is an effective police department doesn't have high arrests. They want to make sure that the community instead is measured by its low rate of crime. That's really what that is really saying. Okay, that was the first principle. Very strong emphasis upon preventing crime. Very strong emphasis upon a relationship between the citizens and the police department. Okay, now here's core idea number two of Sir Robert Peel. The key to preventing crime is earning public support. Every community member must share the responsibility of preventing crime as if they were all volunteer members of the police force. They will only accept this responsibility if the community supports and trusts the police. So you see that combination, the community and the police working together and a shared responsibility of preventing crime. Okay, that's really what his underlying message was all about. And then he comes to his third core principle. The police earn public support by respecting community principles. Winning public approval requires hard work to build reputation, enforcing the laws impartially, hiring officers who represent and understand the community, and using force only as a last resort. So you see, there's the principles on which the police department was formed in 1829 London and has grown across the world as a major part of community safety and community support and the resolution of conflict and problems within a community. The police have come to play an enormously strong role in that. Now, he takes these three core ideas where it really underscores that relationship between the police and the community, and he puts them into nine principles of policing. Now, I'm not going to read all nine of them to you, but let me just read a couple of them to you so you get a flavor of what policing was all about when it started, 1829. And we've moved away from it, perhaps, but maybe we need to move back to our basic core. There's some ideas here that still have value, and we need to kind of understand what they are and rethink them. Here's his first principle: to prevent crime and disorder as an alternative to the repression by military force and severity of legal punishment. So the police were to prevent crime and prevent disorder rather than wait until it got out of control and then you had to bring in military force. That was his basic point. It was an alternative to the military force, and it was an alternative to correcting behavior through severe legal punishment. Point number three, to recognize always that to secure and maintain the respect and approval of the public means also the securing of the willing cooperation of the public in the task of securing observance of laws. So the police had a major responsibility to secure the respect and the approval of the public and then maintain that. That was their effort. That was their goal. That was their mission. That was their focus, was to create a force that worked with the community, through the community, for the community, on behalf of the community, and with the emphasis upon the prevention of crime rather than on the punishment of crime or the suppression of crime through the use of force and particularly military force. Here's point number four. To recognize always that the extent to which the cooperation of the public can be secured diminishes proportionately the necessity of the use of physical force and compulsion for achieving police objectives. So here's what he was saying. If we can have a cooperative relationship between the police and the public, that diminishes proportionately the necessity of physical force. The higher the respect, the higher the cooperation, the lower the need for physical force by the police to bring a community under control. So here's number seven, point number seven. To maintain at all times a relationship with the public that gives reality to the historic tradition that the police are the public and that the public are the police. The police being only members are the only members of the public who are paid to give full-time attention to duties which are incumbent on every citizen in the interest of the community, welfare, and existence. Recognizing, therefore, that the police are the only ones paid to keep peace and to build a public relationship. But the public has a duty, a need to maintain a tradition of cooperation, a tradition of working together and making sure that the interest and the welfare and the peace and the existence of the public is maintained. So here's point number nine, just the last one that he comes up with. To recognize always that the test of police efficiency is the absence of crime and disorder, not the visible evidence of police action in the dealing with them. In other words, the emphasis was to be upon the absence of crime, the absence of disorder. In other words, low crime rates. That was the measure of an effective police department. Low crime rates, because it prevented crime, not the visible evidence that the police action were dealing with crime through punishment and through arrests and shootings and various other activities of that nature. So you can't really deal with the issue of the police department unless you know and understand what Sir Robert Peel was thinking about and what he had in mind and what his objectives were and what his hope was for the police department when he formed it in 1829. So it's a very major part of our life and very major part of our existence. But we need to think about the police as being part of the community and the community citizenry having a responsibility to maintain peace and order. In other words, working with the police. They are not the police, but they are to work with and support and cooperate and be part of the overall peacekeeping within a community, within a neighborhood, within a state. Now, we've kind of given that up. We've said to the citizenship, stay out of it. We've said to citizens, just let me handle it as a policeman. So we have kind of separated ourselves as police departments from the citizens of a community. We have created a bifurcation. We've created a separation between these two groups of people who are both commissioned to keep the peace and to maintain civility within the community and within the neighborhood. Let's come back to working together. Let's come back to working side by side. Let's come back by respecting each other, using each other's resources, using each other's skills, using each other's abilities, using each other's contacts so that we can maintain a low crime rate in a neighborhood, in a community, in a city, in a state. It isn't that fact that Mr. Peel wrote these in 1829 and they're not valid today. They might be more valid today than they were in 1829. Who knows? But there's certainly a validity to what Mr. Peel was thinking and apply today. And if we're going to rethink the issue of our police department, we need to rethink from the very beginning. And that is Mr. Peel's three core ideas and then his nine principles of policing. That's where the action is. That's where it needs to be focused. We need to start there and then move out and make changes in the police department as we may see fit and we may think is best for all concerned. I would encourage you to Google Sir Robert Peel and then Google down to the place where it says his nine principles of policing. Read them for yourself and then see how you would incorporate them within your city and how you think they might be still valid today and where they may not be valid today. Give your own opinion to that, but study that. It's not a matter of marching in the street. It's a matter of reading books. It's not a matter of marching in the street. It's a matter of reading principles of policing. So I'll make sure that you have that opportunity to get into the history of the police department if you're going to give any thought whatsoever to how the police department today should operate and should run and what mayors should do. Even going back to that basic point that I made today, should the police chief be appointed by the mayor and make it part of the political system, or should the police department and the chief of the police be elected by the people and create an independence of the hierarchy of the political system? So, thanks for joining me today. I recommend that you pick up my book, The Psychology Missive. It's a book on law enforcement and the principles of law enforcement and some of the historical factors that are going on today in the area of law enforcement. So you pick it up at Amazon or my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. The Psychology Missive. Just a little book written for police officers and families of police members and those that are part of the law enforcement community. So good little book, and I recommend it to you. And bye for now.